Hello, everybody. This is our podcast number one in English, and I am so glad to direct this message to our friends, English-speaking friends. We're going to be talking about the new USMCA, the automotive chapter of the USMCA. We're going to be talking about the new rule of origin, more stringent, more difficult, and of course we're going to be talking about the opportunities that the USMCA opens up for companies that are located either in the United States or Canada. Let me start by introducing my friend Alejandro Rojas. Alejandro, how are you?
Hi, Eduardo. Thank you for having me in this session. And for sure, a lot of relevant information for our friends. And let's start, Eduardo.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Alejandro. Well, as you know, in the 1st of July last summer, the USMCA, or as it is known in Canada, the Canadian-US-Mexican Agreement, the CUSMA, entered into force, replacing our more than 25 years old NAFTA. This new agreement has new chapters, has new obligations, and in particular, in the area of autos, we have a new rule of origin. As you know, duties amongst Canada, US, and Mexico for trade in autos and auto parts is already in zero. What's new about the agreement that replaced our NAFTA is the rule of origin. And the rule of origin is way more stringent, is more difficult to achieve, and we're going to be talking about that in a second. As you know, the rule of origin is the rule that you have to comply in order to get the preferential tariff of zero. This rule of origin in the NAFTA was 62.5% net cost value, which in other words, that means that 62.5% of the vehicle net cost will have to be from North American parts and components. In the new agreement, in the USMCA or CUSMA, we have a new rule of origin, as I said, more stringent, and the 62.5 will be increasing gradually to 75%. It will be increased in four stages. The first one already took place on the 1st of July 2020, the day of entry into force of this new agreement. And today, instead of 62.5, we have 66% that you have to comply as an OEM in order to get zero duty in the vehicles that get exported amongst the three countries of the new agreement. 66% will be growing towards 75% in three more stages, gradually, one per year, in order to get to the 75%. In this new agreement, core parts are also affected. Core parts will also have to comply with this new 75% rule, staged again, just as in the case of vehicles, in four stages, 3 years. These core parts, among others, we have engines, transmissions, we also have parts that are key, like stamped products of the vehicle. We can give you a full list of these core parts in an annex that we will put in our homepage that will be appearing here in the at the beginning of this podcast. Let me also tell you that we have two more rules that were not present either in our previous NAFTA. One is that 70% of the total purchase at corporate level in North America of the OEMs on steel and 70% on aluminum will have to be from North America. That is, an OEM that buys steel in Mexico, in the United States, and in Canada, when you add it up, you have to have 70% of the total procurement of the steel from North America, starting day one, that is the 1st of July of 2020. Same for aluminum, 70% of North American procurement from an OEM will have to be from North America. That is a very stringent, very difficult rule. And finally, labor content rule, which translates into the fact that 40% of the vehicle, light vehicle, and 45% of pickup trucks will have to be from the United States or Canada after a transition that starts from 25% in the case of light vehicles and 30% in the case of pickup trucks. Both 25% of light vehicles and 30% of pickup trucks will be growing towards these high numbers that I just explained. Rule did not exist, was not present in the NAFTA rule either. So the rule is more stringent, but the new agreement, CUSMA or USMCA, has a provision that gives you a temporary relief of the new rule. It's an escape to the rule temporarily. This has to be negotiated with the importing parties authority. In the case of the United States, is the USTR. The OEM negotiates with the USTR specific models that will not be able to attain or to achieve the new rule temporarily. We'll be able to negotiate for specific models different staging towards the new rule. The new rule has, as I said, 3 years, four stages that can be extended for two more years, that is in total 5 years. Well, in this alternative regime that you can negotiate according to the new agreement for specific models, you can use the 5 years to have different paths towards a new rule. You will have to achieve the new rule, but in different staging. In other words, maybe you keep the 62.5% for 2 years, for 3 years, and then start growing towards the 75%. It is an individual, confidential negotiation that takes place between the OEM for specific models, as I said, with the authority, importing authority. As I said, in the case of the US, is the USTR. It's very important because many people have asked me, Eduardo, but will the company be able to achieve this very stringent, difficult new rule of origin? And I said, well, perhaps not at the beginning and not for all models, but the agreement has its own relief and can be negotiated specifically. This new rule brings up opportunities for North America. Every time we say the rule has to have a larger component from North America, that is from 62.5 to 75% after the transition, that translates into opportunities for North American suppliers. A lot of components that are brought today to Canada, US, or Mexico from abroad, namely Europe, Asia, you can bring those components as long as that allows you to comply with the new rule of origin. But as the new rule of origin becomes more stringent over the next transition period, you'll have to think it twice before you bring components from these areas of the world. Those translate into opportunities. We are going to be talking about those opportunities. Alejandro has prepared some examples, but we would like to keep in touch with you so that we can make a specific case for you on the opportunities that open up pursuant to the new USMCA or CUSMA. Alejandro, please take the stage and tell us about these specific opportunities, examples of specific opportunities that are brought up from the new agreement in this, what I call, deglobalization process, a process that brings suppliers to North America, nearshoring, regionalization is called also. Please tell us about it, Alejandro.
Thank you, Eduardo. First of all, I'd like to emphasize that all the information you are providing us as the main framework about changes and how the new rules of origin on the USMCA will be operating is result of the knowledge you have of the industry. I want to share with our friends that Eduardo, he was the leading negotiator for the auto sector during these negotiations. He was president of the Mexican Association of the Auto Industry. So he's the top expert in this industry.
And, I represented the auto sector from the private sector, I should say.
Exactly. So we have the real expert. Thank you, Eduardo. And going back to the specific business opportunities, Mexico has been, we rely a lot in the parts and components being imported from any country around the world. Mexico now is currently importing more than $200 billion US dollars in components for all manufacturing sector. These components are based mainly in six processes: the stamping, forging, foundry, machining, plastic injection, molding, and tooling. So now, as a result of the new rules of forging, Mexico will have to deepen the business relationship with Canadian and American suppliers. This means that in order to comply with the new 75 rule of origin for assembled vehicles, now companies, OEMs, and tier ones will need to find regional suppliers, mainly tier two and tier three level. This means that we will be replacing current sources from Asia and Europe for North American suppliers. So just briefly, I can tell you that specifically in the auto sector, the opportunities for Canadian and American exporters to Mexico is around US 60 billion. So it's important for you to find where these opportunities might be. For sure, our agency can support you to see where your specific products can be exported to Mexico. So this is really good news because Mexico is continuously being seen like an investment site for American and Canadian companies. But in this case, the opportunities are not only in investing in Mexico, but also exporting to Mexico. As Eduardo mentioned, that there are a lot of components that will be required to to comply with this labor content provision that Mexico is not ready to comply. So only Mexico, only Canada and the US are paying this $16 per hour. So that means that if you have these levels, you will have really high opportunities in our country. So it's very important for you to consider this, the new market opportunities that you will be able to find in Mexico. It's a process. First, you need to know what Mexico is importing for third countries, where you are competitive by exporting to Mexico, and how to establish these connections with OEMs and tier ones in our country. Just to give you an idea, we run a case for transmission shafts and cranks. Currently, Mexico is importing $545 million of US dollars from all over the world. However, only 43% are imported from the US and Canada. This means that for this specific component, considered as a super core part under the CUSMA, the USMCA, American and Canadian companies will be having an opportunity to supply around $312 million for this specific component currently being imported from Asia or Europe. So this is the kind of exercise or analysis you need to run. See what Mexico is buying from third countries, what if you can help our OEMs and tier one companies in Mexico to comply with the new rules of origin, or even is still an opportunity for you to consider to expand your operations into Mexico. The message is not to close your plants in the US or Canada, because you will be needing to continue producing under these $60 per hour as a minimum wage. But you can complement your operations by taking advantage of the cost competitiveness and the strong basis we have in Mexico for the auto industry. And again, we have the information. We can support you during this identification process, and we can help you to take advantage of these new opportunities. So then, Eduardo, I think this is very good news for Canadian and American companies, mainly SMEs, because they can play a very important role in this very important supply chain, which is the auto sector in the North American region.
Very important, Alejandro. And our tier ones are already importing 85% of their needs from abroad, and not all of that from US and Canada, from the US and Canada. A lot of that from Europe and from Asia, and though that translates into opportunities. Very important what you're saying. $16 per hour are only paid in the US and Canada, and that provision calls for specific percentages of the car that have to be manufactured, produced in Canada and the USA, places where $16 per hour are paid. It is very important to note that the rule, yes, applies to the OEM, but they can get also value from tier ones that supply from tier twos in the US or Canada. That supply from the US and Canada from tier twos to tier ones in Mexico also account for the OEM's commitment that they have in this labor content rule. Very important. We would like to keep in touch with you. Our emails are going to be provided to you in where this podcast is going to be located. Our emails, and of course our homepage. Thank you very much. Thank you, Alejandro, for sharing with our audience this information. And of course, thanks to our audience. Alejandro, I pass on the word to you for a final comment.
Thank you, Eduardo, and thank you for our friends. And definitely, please feel free to contact us to share this information. And as Eduardo mentioned, we will be continue helping you to better understanding how to use the new agreement as business opportunities for your companies. Thank you, Eduardo, and thanks, everyone.
Very difficult agreement, very tough, very stringent rule, but a lot of opportunities that come pursuant to this agreement. Thank you very much, folks, and we'll see you in our next English-speaking podcast. Thank you.